Now we turn to Andrew Melton is in the house, in the studio. Sorry to take away some of our time here, but that verdict came in.
Oh, it's all good, sir.
Co-host of the Flex Zone and board operator here at WEAA. Of course, engineers our program here. Damaris Dye is with us, sports analyst also on the Flex Zone. Good to meet you.
Yes, good to meet you, Mark, as well.
410-319-8888 is the number here. You can tweet us at Mark Steiner. Write to us here at talk@steinershow.org by email, 410-319-8888. So since you're the sports maven, newly graduated with master's degree.
Yes, he
Melton,
did.
Congratulations again on that.
Thank you again, sir.
Where do we want to begin? I was going to say MBA, but you want to start someplace else. Where would you like to start?
Well, you were talking about Brazil in your last segment, so I wanted to just touch on that a little bit about the president and the trial running on. It looks like it's going to run on during the summer games, which could possibly be a distraction that's going to last. It looks like actually post the Olympics,
yep,
too, as the timeline that I'm reading here. Some reports are saying September or possibly all the way up to November. I don't know.
Also, those Olympics, one thing that hits me is that all the disasters taking place. I mean, the bike track that was supposed to go all the way down the coast because it was such shoddy construction collapsed.
Oh, wow.
Two people were killed. And there's all kinds of issues here about poor people being moved out to bulldozer neighborhoods to build these pieces for the stadium that's coming in the midst of all that politics. It's going to be a very strange Olympics.
Yeah, how economics are nowadays. They had a similar issue, too, with the Super Bowl as well when they're trying to move people out,
right,
just so that way
– right.
Just so that way it's kind of a good look for the city itself, but – not realizing how some of these economic issues affect the people that actually live there.
So, ever thought on that, Damaris? Would be?
Yes. I mean, it can be tough sometimes with you're using a stadium, you're going to build it, and you're only using it once. So to move people out is an unfair thing to do. A lot of that with the president, they want to seem like they want to rush this process too. And if I was the government there in Brazil, you should take your time. So it won't be an extra distraction and try to get it done before November, because is it not taken? Once November comes, she can be become the president once again.
Yeah, if that happens, yes. That could blow up all over the place. Yeah. So let me ask you all about where you think about before we hit the Preakness, which I do want to talk a bit about, and the Orioles, which I do want to talk a bit about. The NBA playoffs. The Warriors lost on Saturday, right? Didn't they?
They lost last night.
Thank you for that. So tell me what you all think is going on.
I'll let you start, D.
You know, you watch Oklahoma City. They are a very talented basketball team with Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, eating his cancer. And the size of Oklahoma City is, I think, giving Golden State a little bit of problems in the sense that the Warriors want to run up tempo, but they want to do it with a smaller lineup. And the Thunder has big men that can run with them as well. So it's an interesting dynamic, and it's fun to watch. Very fun to watch.
I mean, do we expect that? I mean, you know, with Curry, we thought they were going to run away with it.
This series, I had it going about six or seven games, just for the simple fact that you have Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, two of the top five best players in the league. So I knew it would be a difficult matchup. A lot of people didn't even see OKC getting this far in the playoffs. A lot of people had them losing to the Spurs. And in the past, the OKC has given the Spurs trouble before. So for them to get this far is kind of amazing of a run that they've been able to have. But you knew that this matchup was probably the best matchup in the Western Conference Finals. You've seen this matchup throughout the regular season, and the three times that they did play, it's always been a very close game. And we've seen Golden State just have issues with Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook because they really don't have an answer for somebody of that size or the explosiveness of a Russell Westbrook.
That's interesting. So, and what about the other games in this? The Raptors are – what's going to go on with that?
I thought it was going to be a sweep myself. I didn't even see the Raptors get in the game that they got. But now I'm gonna just call it a gentleman's sweep at this point. Cleveland will get it together. There's no way that you're gonna have Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving shooting 4 for 28. Those shots that they normally make will fall in.
Do you think that 99-84 win was a fluke?
It was just one bad game from the Cavs. That's all it was.
It was an interesting fluke indeed. But you can see how the Cavaliers can be beaten in the playoffs, though. They don't play team ball. They're susceptible to getting beat.
And you think that's what they're doing? Not playing team ball?
I mean, the way they're playing against these teams in the East, they play great. I mean, they'll be tough on a team out West, but folks know me. I'm not the biggest LeBron fan, so I'm hoping that the Western Conference won.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like that the West whoever comes out of the West will most likely be the favorite to win. But you still can't take away anything from a team with LeBron James on there. You never know that he's an X factor himself, and then healthy Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, two of his players that he didn't have last year for the finals. So we'll see what happens. But we know that the Cavs are destined to come out of the East.
Sadly so.
You never know. Maybe there'll be an upset. You never know. I love upsets. Raptors over the Cavs would make me. I'd smile and we could watch the Raptors play the Warriors.
That's not going to
happen. The NBA, wouldn't be smiling, though.
It's not going to happen, Mark.
Is it not going to happen?
It's not going to happen. Yeah, there's no way that they're going to let that happen.
It's not going to happen.
But
myself, watch the game. Maybe I haven't watched it. I'll put my juju on and see if it wins. Folks, join us here 410-319-8888. I know you're a lot of basketball fans out here. Your thoughts for our two guests, and you know the two are good people here. Flex Zone. If you listen to it, you should listen to it. 410-319-8888. Andrew Mountain's more than just a board up engineer, obviously. 410-319-8888. So who's going to win the whole thing? Do you think?
At this point, I would say it's going to be Golden State and the Cavs, with Golden State winning it in six games.
He loves to do that. He loves to call it. Go ahead.
I'm going to give respect to Cleveland, believe it or not. I'm going to say Golden State in seven. It's going to come down to game seven.
All right. I think it should be a great series, though.
Oh, yeah. Either way. Yeah.
That's going to be a hell of a series. Yeah, watch that match up there and see what LeBron does coming out, and Curry if he's healthy.
And this time around, it'll be more interesting because you have different storylines in this. If they do meet up again, because LeBron James, his comments about Steph Curry winning the MVP, saying that there's a difference between the best player and the most valuable player. LeBron's comments about Steve Kerr winning Coach of the Year. And then also this time around, he'll have Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love, so we'll be able to see how LeBron James can match up against Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors with a full squad.
Folks, 410-319-8888. Tweet us here at Mark Steiner. Call us, write to us here at talkingsteinershow.org. Let me switch gears on y'all. So we're in NBA. Did you go to the Preakness?
I followed it, did not, wasn't able to attend, but I did follow it.
I've never been to a Preakness. My whole lifetime in Baltimore, never been to a Preakness.
I found out about it this weekend when I was stuck in the traffic for it.
I mean, there's the huge issue there, of course, was the two horses that died, which raises a lot of questions about how these horses are kept and taken care of and put on the track. And second horse died from the same owner. So, I mean, those are huge issues, but
that's always been an issue in this sport, where if the horses have an injury, they seem to just kill them off. It's been an issue, and it's been talked about within the sport as to what to do with the horses once those type of injuries occur. But they, for the moment right now, the solution to them is just to kind of just kill them off.
I mean, hearing about the first race, the 9-year-old that was a gelding that won the race and then
died.
And then ended up passing out and dying. And you had the 4-year-old filly that passed on. Leg got broke, like Andre was saying.
Euthanized him on the track.
Yep.
Yeah, he collapsed.
Just a hurtful thing. Mind you, it's been 10 years ago since Barbaro collapsed here at Pimlico.
Right.
During the Preakness. So, yeah, it raises questions. It's going to get the PETAs going and other animal rights organizations.
Well, I mean, I think it's the way people push these animals. These horses are really pushed beyond their limit in many ways. And the way they raise them, the physically way they raise them, so many of them have thinner legs than they should have. So they snap easy and get hurt much more easily than the horses that are in their natural form, that are kind of have a thicker legs, thicker ankles, and because they run for long periods, not just fast. So I think that's part of it too. It's just the way they're raising the horses and the way they're built. You know,
that's a very good point.
We'll see what happens moving on in the future, because it's an issue that definitely needs to be addressed. It's sad that two horses had to die over the weekend, though.
So I hear we're not going to have a Triple Crown winner.
No, not this year.
No, NyQuest came up short, tried to pace the horse throughout the whole race and didn't have enough stamina, and Sagarator got paid back from the Kentucky Derby.
And, you know, also it's that track.
Yeah,
had
very
a
muddy
track, which changes the whole nature of a race. And if your horse isn't used to running that kind of race in a muddy track, it's going to have a hard time getting the traction to get past.
But we did have a Triple Crown winner last year, so this year will be kind of interesting to see with these two horses moving forward in the third race as to who will actually take it. Because it's been close both times between the two horses.
But what about the infield? What about that race, Dancing in the Mud? Are you sure you missed that, Andre?
Yeah.
So
No mas.
Let's go to the phones here, and then I want to talk about what's happening with our Orioles. Where did they come from? First place, 410-319-8888. Who would have thought it? Ben, you're on the air. Welcome.
Taking my call. I just wanted to say, I believe what they do with injured horses is not really kill them off in a sense, unless there's something that is sort of they can't repair, or there's going to be some sort of the mortality rate for that horse is going to be pretty high. I think they adopt a lot of them. They give them for adoption. There are some sanctuaries, some families that do take them. They're pretty expensive, but I was sort of like doubting a little bit of the in terms of what they do after injury. I think they have certain regulations in place. My fiance, she's a lawyer, so she had her mentor when she started her first law firm. They used to the owner had horses, so I had a little bit of an interaction with some of the people. So. That's all. I just wanted to put an input about what they do.
Thanks, Ben. It's a mixed bag what happens to the horses. I mean, because they do put horses down a lot, but also there's a whole movement here to adopt those horses and bring them in. I have friends who do that, actually, and have thoroughbreds on their land that they take from the racetracks to keep them going. Same thing with greyhounds. Greyhounds, they often kill the dogs, so that's even worse what they do to greyhounds, who race mostly in Florida, Hialeah, places like that. So talk about baseball.
Hey, how about them Orioles, huh? Best record in the American League.
What is that? Why do you think that's happening?
It has a lot to do with the Orioles and their bats. As long as the Orioles can continue to hit, then they're good. As a matter of fact, I think that, to me, they're the favorite to actually come out of the American League right now over the over the Royals. I've never had a question about the Orioles being able to hit. My question has always been about the pitching. Do they have enough substantial pitching to be able to take them into the World Series? We've been able to see the Orioles go into the playoffs, but then when the last time they were in playoff contention, they faced a Royals team that was just able to pitch just a little bit better than what the Orioles were able to do.
I think the Orioles starting pitching has been a surprise. You know, Chris Tillman's pitching some of his best ball of his career. I've liked what the young Wilson's done. Wright's been a little up and down. Ubaldo is – I'm not the biggest fan of him, but he's up and down. And Gausman's come off the DL, pitched very well. He's had four quality starts. And the Orioles bullpen, which is Bob – nicknamed with Britton, and O'Day and Brach, all three of them come in, it's lights out. So the Orioles got a good bullpen. If starting pitching can keep them in the games, they're going to be just fine.
So, I mean, because we say that, but again, the Orioles have done things in the past, like started out really strong. And there's something, some jinx happens to them mid-season. All of a sudden, they just start falling apart.
I think this is different this time around. The fact that they've got Buck as their manager and he's been able to actually just keep them astray for the for these past couple of years. The fact that Chris Davis seems to actually be earning his money.
Not he is.
And hitting home runs or hitting the necessary RBIs and carrying this team over.
But has been Mark Trumbone, huge trade they got from Seattle in the offseason. Mm-hmm. He has made wonders. And by the way, happy birthday, Buck Showalter, 60 years old.
Oh, yes, happy birthday.
60, young man. So, I mean, but the Orioles, I mean, it seems that they were right about today that, you know, for the first time this season, the Orioles that are in a slump outnumber the hot-hitting ones. So that's what I'm saying. Are we seeing something happen here?
These kind of things happen. It's 162 games in a Major League Baseball season, so you'll see ups and downs. We've seen the Orioles start out really strong. I believe, what were they, like 10-0 before they got...
There's like, 10-3, I believe.
Before they got... Before they started hitting a slump.
It's still 26-16.
26-16 now. So, I mean, they're turning it around again, but it's a very, very long season with the All-Star game coming up.
When is the All-Star game?
July 16th.
It's July 16th in San Diego.
So usually around the All-Star game is – well, post the All-Star game is when we'll see what the Orioles really do. It's one thing to start off strong before the All-Star game, but we've seen in the past sometimes the struggle after the All-Star game. So I'm curious to see how the Orioles will do after the little mini break for the season.
Now, Mark, on our show, we talked about how the American League was going to be very competitive.
Yeah.
And we look at the records right now. Everyone's within either six games of each other outside of the Minnesota Twins. It's very competitive. I think the trading deadline is going to be huge for somebody to get over the hump and be able to do something in the American League.
I mean, alone in the Orioles League, in the AL East, it's a very tight race with Boston right there.
They're coming here Memorial Day. They'll be playing Boston, yes, and the Orioles are coming,
yes, sir,
Memorial,
yes,
Day weekend, right?
So
trying to get to that game.
I'm trying to also.
I want to see the game the following week.
Why? What's the following week?
When they play the Yankees. That's who I want to see.
I'd be nice, Trey.
Yes, please.
Why, are you a Yankees fan?
Oh, no.
It's somebody else who's a Yankees fan.
You're a Yankees fan?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. Where'd you grow up?
Here in Baltimore.
He's with you, man?
He's a little confused sometimes.
So, we were staying with the Orioles just a minute. I mean, Yubaldo Jimenez had this great promise as a pitcher, right?
Yes.
Five losses. And does Showalter have to make a decision about whether he stays in rotation and moves him out? You got, you know, Ivan, was it Gallardo? He never made it because of his injury.
Yeah, he'd be coming back soon.
So what do you think? Where does that go?
Ubaldo's getting paid a lot of money, sadly, and I think they're going to try him out to every chance they get. If they move him to the bullpen, he'd be a very high bullpen pitcher. So I think one of the
highly paid, you mean?
Yeah. I think one of the young guys would probably get sacrificed, but I've never been a big fan of Ubaldo. I watched him in Colorado and Cleveland, his last two teams he was with. He's got good stuff, but he's very inconsistent. Very inconsistent.
And you need that consistency actually moving forward if you're going to actually make a run into the World Series. So that's why I said I'm still questionable about that Orioles pitching.
One more starting pitcher, I think. The Orioles need to do that in the trading deadline.
They can do it.
They'll be fine.
All right. Well, it'd be great to see the O's go all the way. Wouldn't it be fun to actually see a Beltway series?
Oh,
it looks like that may be a possibility.
Yeah, I know,
the way the
them
Nationals
Cubs,
are playing.
Man, them Cubs are playing some ball right now,
yeah,
in the National League.
But, I mean, the way the Nationals are playing,
that's
too,
what I'm saying, though, the Nats, yeah.
It's very possible, the way, especially how Bryce Harper is,
oh,
is hitting.
You know I love me some Bryce Harper.
He's going
to. I'd love to see a Nats O World Series. That would be very cool.
I honestly think that the way it's coming down, it
not
could
Beltway,
be,
I called it a 95 series. 95
series.
Right. I said Beltway. Right.
I mean, that's what people call it, the Battle of the Beltways. So we'll see what happens. But I think that it's a very strong possibility this year, especially because the pitching alone from what we've seen with the Nationals with Strasburg.
Scherzer with 20 strikeouts.
By
the other night, so. Well, you know, I want to make sure, A, we get you two guys back on more. We had to make it a little shorter today because of the trial. But so how do people get to the Flex Zone?
So they can catch the Flex Zone Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. on Fox Sports 1340 a.m. Or they can subscribe to, we have a YouTube channel. We also have, we also podcast the show on iTunes and SoundCloud, as well as we have a Facebook page, yep. Twitter,
Instagram.
And they can email us, theflexzone1@gmail.com.
Flexzone1@gmail.com. This is great. So, newly minted master's degree, Andre Melton, co-host of Flex Zone. Good to have you in the studio. Good to meet you, Damaris Dye.
Yes, definitely, Mr. Mark.
And good to have you here in the studio. This is great. So we'll keep this up and keep these conversations going and get you all back on and watch how this whole thing rolls out over the next season, this season. Good to have you all here.
Thank you,
sir.
On the way out of here, remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information at www.mecu.com or at steinershow.org is MeQ, Baltimore Credit Union's banner. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineers, Andre Melton. Our interns are Morgan Barber and Calvin Perry. Theme music by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. To podcast The Steiner Show, share it with your friends, visit us on the web at steinershow.org, or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.